Welcome back, everyone. We've got a really fascinating deep dive ahead of us today. You know, I'm always intrigued by how ancient cultures viewed their gods, all those different stories and symbols. And your question about Varuna really caught my attention. How did this one god go from ruling the entire cosmos to being the lord of the oceans? And that noose, that's a powerful image. What's the story there?
Well, to really understand Varuna, we have to go back in time to the Vedic period in India. It was a foundational era for Hinduism, a time when their core beliefs and mythology were really taking shape.
Okay, so we're talking way back, right? Like ancient scriptures and stuff.
Exactly. The Vedas are a collection of hymns, rituals, and stories that give us this incredible window into their worldview. And it's in the Vedas where we first encounter Varuna, but not as a water god, not yet. He was this powerful cosmic king, the embodiment of Ruta, the cosmic order that kept everything running smoothly.
So he was like the big boss of the universe. What kind of powers did he have?
Imagine a god who could see everything, ensure that everyone kept their promises, and made sure justice was served. That's Varuna. He was often depicted with 1,000 eyes, always watching, always ensuring balance.
1,000 eyes! Whoa! That's a little intense, don't you think? Kind of like a cosmic big brother, keeping tabs on everyone?
Well, the idea was that nothing could escape his gaze. He was the ultimate judge of truth and falsehood. And to enforce his authority, he had a pretty striking symbol. Yeah. The noose.
A noose, huh? That seems a bit, well, harsh for a god who's supposed to be all about cosmic order. How did that work?
The noose wasn't just a weapon. It was a representation of Varuna's power to bind those who disrupted the moral order. If you broke an oath, if you lied, if you did something unjust, Varuna's noose would find you. It was a symbol of inescapable justice, the idea that actions have consequences.
Okay, so it's like a cosmic karma police. You do something bad, you get snagged by the noose. Definitely makes you think twice about breaking those promises.
Yeah.
But how did this all-seeing, noose-wielding god end up in charge of the oceans? That's a pretty big shift.
You're right, it is a big shift. And it didn't happen overnight. It was a gradual transformation. And historians believe it likely mirrored changes happening in ancient Indian society itself. Think about it. They were moving from a pastoral life to settled agriculture. Rivers became absolutely vital, the source of life and sustenance. But they were also unpredictable. Floods could destroy everything. Droughts could cause famine.
Right. So if your entire society depends on rivers, the god who controls them suddenly becomes super important.
Exactly. And Varuna, with his already established connection to order and justice, he was a natural fit for this new role. He became the god who regulated the waters, ensuring that they brought life and prosperity, but also punishing those who disrupted the balance through their actions.
So even though his domain shifted from the cosmos to the waters, that noose was still there, reminding everyone that there were consequences for messing with the natural order.
You got it. It's a powerful symbol, right? It shows this connection between the moral and the natural realms. If society was just and righteous, the rivers would flow and the crops would grow. But if they strayed from brutal well, droughts, floods, all sorts of calamities might follow.
Wow, that's a completely different way of looking at the relationship between humans and nature, isn't it? Not just seeing it as something separate from us, but as something deeply connected to our actions. It's like a cosmic feedback loop where moral behavior equals a balanced natural world.
And that leads to a really interesting question. How did this belief in the interconnectedness of the natural and moral order shape how ancient Indians perceived events like natural disasters? Were they seen as random occurrences or as signs of a deeper imbalance?
That's a great question. It really makes you think about how differently they must have interpreted the world around them. And I have a feeling we're going to be exploring that very question as we continue our deep dive into the world of Varuna.
You bet we are. Stay tuned.
All right. So before the break, we were talking about this fascinating idea that ancient Indians believed there was a direct link between the moral and natural order. You know, if society behaved well, then the rivers would flow and the crops would grow. But if they strayed from the path of Ruta, well, then things could go wrong. It makes you wonder what they thought caused natural disasters. Did they just chalk it up to bad luck? Or did they see it as a sign of something deeper, something out of balance?
That's a great question. And it really gets to the heart of how ancient Indians viewed their relationship with the divine. You see, they didn't necessarily see natural disasters as random acts of nature. Instead, they often interpreted them as consequences of moral transgressions, a sign that society had somehow fallen out of alignment with Rita.
So it's like a cosmic wake-up call, a message from Varuna saying, hey, you guys need to get your act together.
Precisely. It was a powerful way to encourage ethical behavior, wouldn't you say? If you believe that your actions can directly impact the balance of the natural world, you're going to think twice before doing something that might upset that balance.
That makes a lot of sense. It's a much more interconnected way of viewing the world than we're used to today. But it also seems like it could put a lot of pressure on individuals. I mean, if a drought hits, are you going to start questioning every decision you've ever made?
That's an interesting point, and I'm sure there were varying degrees of belief and interpretation. However, it's important to remember that ancient Indian thought also emphasized the power of repentance and redemption.
So it wasn't just about living in fear of cosmic punishment.
No, it was also about understanding that even if you strayed from the path, you could always find your way back through acknowledging your mistakes, making amends, and striving to live in accordance with Artha.
Okay, so it's a more nuanced system than just good behavior equals good weather, bad behavior equals disaster. There's recognition that humans are fallible, that we make mistakes, but that we also have the capacity to learn and grow.
Exactly. And this idea of redemption wasn't just limited to individuals. It applied to society as a whole as well. Through collective acts of repentance, rituals, and sacrifices, they believed they could appease Varuna and restore balance to the natural world.
So it's not just about individual responsibility, but also about coming together as a community to address these challenges. It's like saying, we messed up, Varuna, but we're committed to doing better.
That's a great way to put it. It highlights the importance of collective action and shared responsibility for maintaining harmony between the human and natural realms.
And this ties back to Varuna's role, right?
Yeah.
He's not just there to punish, but also to guide and offer a path to redemption.
Absolutely. And this is where we see a softer, more compassionate side to Varuna emerge. Yes, he was the enforcer of cosmic order, the god with the all-seeing eyes and the powerful noose, but he was also a god of mercy, willing to forgive those who genuinely sought to make things right.
It's a fascinating balance between justice and mercy, isn't it? And it speaks to the complexity of the human experience. We make mistakes, we suffer consequences, but we also have the capacity for change and growth.
And that capacity for change, that potential for alignment with Vatorta, is what ultimately gives hope. It suggests that even in the face of challenges and setbacks, we have the power to restore balance both within ourselves and in the world around us.
That's a really powerful message. It's not about living in fear of punishment, but about recognizing our interconnectedness with all things and striving to live in a way that promotes harmony and balance. And it all comes back to this fascinating figure of Varuna, the god who went from ruling the cosmos to becoming the lord of the oceans, but who always remained the ultimate guardian of Varuna.
Indeed, his story is a reminder that even as the world changes, even as our understanding of the universe evolves, the fundamental principles of order, justice, and the interconnectedness of all things remain timeless and essential.
You know, this deep dive has really opened my eyes to a whole new way of thinking about ancient Indian beliefs. And I bet you, our listener, are feeling that same sense of wonder and insight. It's amazing how exploring the mythology and symbolism of a figure like Varuna can lead us to such profound questions about our own place in the universe and our responsibility to maintain balance and harmony.
As we approach the end of our deep dive, it's important to reflect on what we've learned and to consider how we might apply these insights to our own lives.
What stands out to you, listener? What new perspectives have you gained? And perhaps most importantly, what questions are still swirling in your mind?
Keep those questions close, for they are the seeds of further exploration and understanding. We encourage you to continue your journey into the fascinating world of ancient Indian thought, to delve deeper into the stories and symbolism that have captivated us today, and to discover the timeless wisdom that lies within.
And remember, the deep dive doesn't end here. It continues in your own exploration and reflection. Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep diving deeper into the vast ocean of knowledge that surrounds us. You know, we've been talking about Varuna and this idea of Varuda, this cosmic order, and it really makes you think, doesn't it, about how interconnected everything is.
Absolutely. The ancient Indians had this profound understanding of the delicate balance between humanity and nature.
And it makes you wonder how they would view our modern world, all the environmental challenges we're facing today.
Right. Would they see it as a sign that we've lost our way, that we've strayed too far from that path of Vedanta?
It's definitely a sobering thought. But maybe it's also a wake-up call. Like, hey, we need to get back to that understanding that our actions have consequences, not just for us, but for the whole planet.
I think that's a really important takeaway from our deep dive. It's not just about learning about some ancient god. It's about gaining insights that can actually help us navigate the challenges we're facing today.
Exactly. Varuna's story reminds us that we're not separate from nature. We're a part of it. And our actions have ripple effects. So, if we want a more harmonious world, well, we need to start acting accordingly.
It's about rediscovering that sense of responsibility, recognizing that interconnectedness that the ancient Indians understood so well.
You know, it's been an incredible journey exploring Varuna's world with you. Mm-hmm. From Cosmic King to Lord of the Waters, his story is full of fascinating twists and turns.
And his symbolism, that noose, it's a powerful reminder that our choices matter.
So, as we wrap up our deep dive into the world of Varuna, I want to leave you with this thought. How can we apply the lessons of Varuna to our own lives? How can we bring more balance and harmony to our relationship with nature?
It's a question worth pondering, and hopefully our exploration has given you some new perspectives to consider.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. We'll see you next time.